Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 12 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. It's Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, who is on assignment today. We are joined.
Whose assignment?
Well, I think you sent him on an assignment.
Oh, yes, I did.
I think it involved a couple of horses, a box exacta. I'm not sure what it is, but he'll be back tomorrow. Mike Spain from the Times Union is here as well. Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
Alan Shartok and Libby Post. Good morning, all.
Good morning. Yeah.
Boy, it feels like summer, doesn't it?
Not in here right now.
It is nice out.
It's beautiful out. I'm a little cold in here, but it's beautiful out.
Oh, we could arrange that.
Sure.
I just hope that we're not going to skip spring because it's a beautiful season.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's the best. It's the best.
Well, you know, it's so. I mean, I'll tell you what's depressing. You wait until you get the first warmth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then your weeping cherry tree goes into full bloom, which lasts for about a week.
If that.
Then you realize that life goes on and we'll be back in the refrigerator soon. That's depressing.
So yes, in other words,
but it takes
a
little while.
What'd you say?
It takes there's always a reason to complain, Ray, but it takes a little while. We have hostas that seem to be on steroids.
Yeah.
They're just popping up and...
So what do you get? In other words, how long do you really get of some decent weather?
I would say May, June, July, August, September... And you push it into October. November starts to slide down to gray.
Right. This is why people move south.
Yeah.
Right.
That and the taxes, obviously.
Except you don't have seasons in the south. You just have hot.
All right.
That's
well, we've exhausted that topic. If you'd like to join in our discussion of the weather.
I don't know about that.
Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. You can also go to our webpage. It's WAMC.org, don't you know, / roundtable. And today's post is 5/16. No, it's 5/6/15 panel. That's today's date and the panel. But once again, the email is roundtable at WAMC.org. Okay.
And the fun drive is on the first day of June. I'm really...
Is that when it starts this time?
I think it's June 1st, yeah.
June 1st. Okay.
Yeah.
Just around the corner.
It is, and I've already got that rumbling in my tummy and, you know, my fear.
You should eat something.
What'd you say?
You should eat something.
I had an orange, and then I had oatmeal about 5 o'clock this morning,
mm-hmm.
you know, with an egg
orange,
white on it.
You know, it's a little acidic, so you need the oatmeal.
I was sitting in one of my favorite restaurants in Great Barrington with Roselle the other day, the Great Barrington Bagel Company, and I said, I'm going to get myself a pastrami sandwich. They have wonderful pastrami. So I got a pastrami sandwich, right?
Yeah.
And a lady who was sitting right behind me said, "Aha! You're always looking down your noses at us and telling us what to eat, and you're eating a pastrami sandwich? You can't go anywhere."
Good for you, lady. Good for you. And if you want to email us, lady, it's roundtable at WAMC.org. All right. So this story that it keeps on giving... And yeah, it's a New York story, but it's corruption and greed. It's a universal.
Just change the names.
That's
what
right.
What else keeps on giving?
New York State Senate Leader Dean Skelos continues to proclaim he's innocent, while the Republican yesterday summing up a 43-page criminal complaint against him as a press release. Skelos was arrested Monday on influence peddling allegations. So far, Republicans are sticking with Skelos to continue in his leadership post. And Mike Spain of the TU, you guys are all over this.
Yeah, Matt Hamilton's story today talks about how that, quote, strong consensus that the conference had on Monday behind closed doors is beginning to erode. Obviously, members of the Democratic side of the state Senate have been critical of Skelos staying in the leadership position. And now some Republicans, including George Amador, I guess he's a freshman senator he was an assemblyman prior to that. So he's a freshman senator who will face a tough reelection perhaps in 2016, has come out and said that he thinks he should step aside, that Skelos should step aside as leader.
And he's not the only one there.
No, Bonachek has.
John Bonachek from Catskill, who are from the Hudson Valley, who is a veteran.
Right.
And one of the leaders in the...
And who's vying for the position.
Yes, right.
And Ort, who's the new guy from Niagara County.
Right, and he's new also. So some new faces and some veterans in the chamber are calling for it. Editorials all across New York State from newspapers today and yesterday were calling for the speaker to step aside. And it does seem a little deja vu to back in January when I called him the speaker, but the Senate Majority Leader stepped aside, but the speaker himself had to step aside in the Assembly after, at first, it looked like he was going to hold on to his leadership position. We're talking about Shelley Silver after he was arrested and later indicted by a federal grand jury, by a federal prosecutor in a case involving corruption allegations, just as now Dean Skelos, the leader of the state Senate, the Republican leader of the state Senate, is also facing corruption charges. And as you pointed out, he kind of describes it as he dismisses it and says that his arrest on Monday, and along with his son being arrested, is nothing more than a press release for the U.S. attorney, which I think is understating it.
Perhaps. But I think that's also a similar angle that Sheldon Silver's defense will be taking. Now, Alan, you interviewed Congressman Gibson.
Sure.
And he spoke about this yesterday.
You know, Chris Gibson, who I like a lot, has said to me on a number of occasions, the way to play each event as you are challenged by them is just to tell the truth. I like that. And the truth here, he said, is he should step aside. And he made a lot of news right here at WAMC, which we're kind of used to now. A lot of people come in, Chuck Schumer the other day and Chris Gibson, and made it clear that he should not be the majority leader, that there would be too many distractions, and he had all kinds of guts. Now, is Chris Gibson lining up for a run for governor? I think he is. I think he's going to run. He was very tough about it, but I think fair, as he always is.
I think he makes a very good point here, as do the other ones. The office, this is the second time this office has been sullied with a federal investigation. First we had Joe Bruno, now we have Dean.
Actually, it's the fifth time.
No, well,
fifth time in a longer period.
Right,
the second
time
in my
right, but the second time, let's say recently, okay? I mean, it's been within the last 5 years. I think Chris is running for governor, and I think that this is a way of separating himself out as a good government Republican.
In Democratic New York State.
Right, in a Democratic New York State.
Yeah.
And, you know, he will gain favor among more conservative Democrats by, saying this. What I find interesting is that the Young Turks, as it were, George Amador and I think his name is Bob Ort from Niagara
County.
There's
a guy in the Daily News today, by the way, has an op-ed about getting out.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you're seeing the younger members, some of them, calling for his resignation. I don't think Dean Skelos is long for that position.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask our political observer. Is it in fact a definite that he will be gone? In other words, every day you will see one more or two more who say, well, maybe he should step aside.
Yeah.
Is it now, in Sheldon Silver's case, again, not found guilty yet, but the pressure was get out from the leadership post. Will that happen here again?
Look, nobody takes on the speaker. Nobody takes, if you're in the conference, nobody takes on a majority leader until that day when the tipping point comes. And if you start to add up all these names we've been talking about today, and you go in there, and all of a sudden, there's one extra guy, and the scale goes in the other direction, he's gone.
Yeah.
Now, I don't understand the logic of this. Bill Hammond in the Daily News, who can be a real Uncle Grumpy.
Now, wait a minute.
Well, he can. Well, you're Uncle Grumpy.
Yeah.
You're our Uncle Grumpy, but
that's right.
he can be a grump. And he just weighs in heavily this morning. Calling him all kinds of names and being,
right.
not understanding the position that he's in. You know, I started this rant here by telling you that I thought the people in the conferences know you know, that the way to get along in the legislature is not to tick off the head guy in their conference. If you do it, you know, they'll start moving the desks down to the basement.
Except this isn't Michael Bragman trying dethrone
Shelley.
Well, he was at the height of his power.
This is being done once an indictment comes out. What I find interesting is the silence on the second floor.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things you just said that most people living in California who are listening to us right now, or Massachusetts or Connecticut,
California,
don't understand. Well, yeah, people listening all over the world to us on our
River City's here.
Well, worldwide streaming. No. Michael Bragman, for those of you who are Massachusetts or Connecticut, just because, you know, corruption's endemic. If you think we don't have it in my state of Massachusetts, believe me, speakers on a regular basis have gone off to the same place that that our politicians go. It is part of the cycle of greed and avarice, and I can get away with this, and I'm bulletproof.
Okay, so
arrogance is what that's called.
And you saw it with Blagojevich. You saw it with many, many, many across the country. So what comes first? Does that arrogance come? Is it a prerequisite to want to run for office, or does it come after you get the power?
Oh, I think you get seduced by the power. And not only that, I'm not in no position to know, but I think as you're coming up, even before you get to be the head man or woman, you get inundated by people who want something from you.
Absolutely.
But don't you need to have a certain amount of hubris to want to run in the first place?
I think you do. You have to at least have a strong sense of purpose. You have to have self-confidence. You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe that you can make a difference. Or you can just be a manipulative person who's hungry for power and some of those other characteristics. But not every person who runs for office is corrupt. It doesn't mean that they're corrupt. But I agree with Alan. Sometimes people start out with the greatest of intentions, and when they get bombarded with special interests who are courting them, they get swayed by it. And then after they've been in power for a while, they begin to enjoy that. And sometimes that can lead to some bad mistakes.
And some of them, like Chuck Schumer, who was here the other day, he knows it. He is the common guy. I always ask him, what did he have for lunch? And he always says, my wife made me lunch. Here it is in my plastic container.
Pastrami on a bagel.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break here. Yeah. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Whistling Kettle, tea shops and cafes in Boston Spa and downtown Troy, New York. Serving Mother's Day tea, thewhistlingkettle.com for reservations and gift ideas. Saratoga Bridges, Boston Spa, New York, a community resource for people with disabilities and their families, supported employment, day services, and more, saratogabridges.org. And Tulip, a new shop in Rhinebeck, a modern gallery with fresh-cut flowers, contemporary photography, designer gifts, and home decor, tuliprhinebeck.com.
That's nice, Hopper. Nice bumper music from our Dave Hopper. It's the Roundtable on WAMC.org. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, who's on assignment. Libby Post here, Mike Spain, and Alan Shartok. Why are you laughing?
Well, what is this on assignment thing?
He told me he had an assignment.
Oh, yeah, but from whom? From his wife?
Okay. You guys talked about special interests, and there was a great piece in the New York Times today, while we have a couple of minutes left here, about Skelos and silver and real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll quote a little bit from this piece. I would read you the title from the New York Times piece, but this is how the titles print on my printer.
Big names in New York real estate figure into Skelos and silver cases.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, you're talking about Glenwood Development, which is founded by Leonard Litwin, who is like 100 years old.
He's old, but he's still ticking.
A ton of money to everybody. to a lot
to both sides.
He's certainly the biggest contributor to Governor Andrew Cuomo's campaign and to both sides, both parties. And he the company that he runs and owns has 26 apartment towers in Manhattan, 8,700 apartments, including three in Mr. Silver's district in Lower Manhattan, the New York Times points out. And he enjoys, many of the buildings enjoy what is a very controversial tax break, the 421A tax break. And that's kind of what's at stake. They get these tax breaks for their projects.
Was it John R. Arbuckle or Mr. Goodwrench? I can never figure out who said, you get what you pay for.
I think both.
Or you can pay me now or you can pay me later.
Depending on which generation you're from. Yeah.
Right.
I think it was Mr. Goodwrench in my generation.
But I do remember, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure somebody out there will. I do remember that when Andrew Cuomo made probably the worst decision of his life, to close down the Moreland Act Commission. Maybe the worst mistake in his life was to start the Moreland Act Commission, but maybe the worst was to end the Moreland Act Commission. There was this whole talk about whether the staff was going to subpoena, quote, real estate people who had made major donations, and that's when this thing got closed down.
That's right.
So one and one makes two.
Well, it got closed down officially long after that, but it pretty much stopped after that.
You're right.
I mean, that kind of shut down the operation, and some time went by. But
why was it a bad idea, Alan, for him to start? Didn't he have to do something? He did campaign on that.
Well, he campaigned on a lot of things. You may remember he campaigned on not allowing these guys to draw their own districts and said he would. That was his major first-term campaign thing.
And then it happened.
And then he didn't veto the bill he promised to veto, and he said he had to negotiate with it. No, it was a bad idea because when the Moreland Act Commission, I know it's getting a little obscure for some people, but at the moment at which he announced the Moreland Act Commission, all kinds of reporters raised their hands and said, well, what if it leads to you? Let it go wherever it wants to. It could go wherever, and it was going to be a free and independent commission. Turns out it wasn't.
Well, Alan, I have a question on that. So after the Moreland Act Commission was shut down less than a year later by the governor, saying that we got our concessions from both sides, we were cleaning up government, et cetera, et cetera.
Which he didn't do.
Right. But that was the assertion. Then the U.S. Attorney of Southern New York,
Preet
Bharara's office, confiscated the files of the Moreland Commission, and we don't really know what's happened after that.
Right.
But is that a political mistake shutting down the Moreland Act Commission, or how would that be anything more than a part of
it? 15 seconds.
It was a terrible mistake because when the great history on Andrew Cuomo gets written, it's always going to be the shutting down of the Moreland Act Commission.
But is it a crime, though? I mean, is it?
No,
actionable?
I didn't say it was a crime.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen to him.
Yeah.
All right, crimes, mistakes, and misdemeanors. Yeah, just another edition of the Roundtable. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. We'll take a break for a brief news. We'll be back. It's a roundtable on WAMC 933, a beautiful Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, who's on assignment. Libby Post, Mike Spain, and Alan Shartok are here. And Alan, the email address, as you know, sir, is roundtable@wamc.org.
It's true.
Is there anything in there?
There was one.
Oh, you lost it.
I think it may have gone away. But here's the point. The writer was upset with Dean Skelos making his remarks outside on his own situation outside the funeral or the the memorial service for the slain officer in New York. But, you know, this is a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. I mean, you're standing there, there's a whole bunch of reporters, they're following you around, they ask you a question. You say, I'm not going to talk to you guys, it's disrespectful, and they write that and you look bad. If you say, you know, if you give the remarks that we've already given, then you're responsive, but you're being negative, about, you're disgracing the
Well, I think he could have just said, this is not the time or place, we need to put our emphasis on the family of the slain policeman, and walked away, and no one would have argued with that.
Okay, I give up.
Okay, fine.
I think that's a sensible...
Yes,
sort of...
I just think, you know, let's have some respect here.
Yeah, I give up.
Okay.
Right, you are.
Thank you very much.
Wow, that never happens.
I'm on assignment.
You're phoning it in.
Roundtable at WAMC.org. roundtable at WAMC.org. This is from the New York Times. Incomprehensible title. Just that's the way it's printing out for me, but I'll read you a quote from the first paragraph. Counterterrorism officials on Tuesday were studying the electronic trails left by two men killed by a police officer as they shot at a Prophet Muhammad cartoon contest in Texas, looking for any direct ties to the Islamic State extremist group in Syria. The group praised the gunman in a statement as soldiers of the caliphate, the unified Muslim land that it purports to be building. That there apparently was some exchange of Twitter messages by one of the gunmen, Elton Simpson, with somebody connected to ISIS. Now, ISIS also saying, well, we have 71 fighters in 15 different states, and 23 are signed up for missions like the one in Garland, Texas. Bluster? FBI is looking at it right now. Mike Spain, you first.
Well, it would be easy to believe that ISIS saw this happen and said,
right,
let's claim credit for it and get some publicity. I mean, it would certainly make sense that that's plausible. Perhaps ISIS was what inspired these two people to take this action. Certainly the event itself, an event to invite cartoonists to do Muhammad cartoons, you know, based on Muhammad, was absolutely intended to incite people of faith in the religion of Islam, and it was an insult to them. And certainly the radicals who are among those who were offended might step forward. It certainly was billed as a First Amendment event by its backers. They do have the First Amendment right. This is a free country, and they have a right to be repugnant and do repugnant things, and that's what this event was. And it does not justify the violence that happened, but they basically handed, this backfires. This group, which is an anti-Islamic group, it's basically a hate group that hates Islam, essentially handed ISIS, who they profess to hate, a propaganda tool. So, I mean, it's absurd.
The reason that ISIS cuts people's heads off and that they do all of this is that they want to instill fear in everybody. So it stands to reason that when something awful happens, they're going to take credit for it.
And
they would do that in order to maximize people's perception of their influence.
And you have these folks who are marginalized within their communities for whatever reason. They might be
criminals.
They might have mental health issues. They might have, you know, self-esteem issues, and they look and they get recruited because there's all this recruitment going on online of be part of the team, the ISIS team, which is basically what they're saying. And then it's easy for ISIS to take credit for it. And I think it is about fear, but this is not about mainstream Islam in America. It's not about...
No, it's not. This is a small...
Right. It's a small group of people. Right. There was another article I read this morning. I don't know if it was in the Times or not, about somebody who speaking on behalf of mainstream Islam in America, that this is not what we do, not what they do, and that they all, the folks in the mosques in Texas sort of, you know, just... In Dallas, just thought, this is absurd. We're not engaging in this. Yes, it's insulting, but it's not something that we're going to, you know, send out the guns for. And then you have these two people who feel incensed by this. And let me tell you, you're absolutely right, Mike. The fact that this event happened at all was done to incite people. And it was done in a way that ends up with people being killed, these two guys being killed. What happens if people at the cartoon contest ended up being killed? Who's responsible for that? Yes,
the Pamela Geller.
Pamela Geller is also responsible for this.
I mean, Ray's point, I agree. The people who do this are criminals, and they're wrong. You know, I mean, there's no justification for the action that happened there. However, Pamela Geller, that's the organizer of this event, has been all over, cable now. Her name is out there. She's professing to be a First Amendment. She's wrapping her First Amendment advocate, yes, and wrapping herself in the American flag. But while she's doing that, she's no different, I think, than the Nazis who wanted to march through Skokie. I think she's like the Baptist Church, the Westboro,
right.
Is it Westboro
Baptist Church,
which
right.
Pickets
I think
outside.
There's a difference.
And she's fine. Yeah. She's screaming okay. fire in a crowded theater.
Okay, well, there's a difference.
She has a right to do it.
There's a difference. That was an event. The Nazis who marched in Illinois, they're marching in a thoroughfare. If you're on the thoroughfare, you can't escape that. This. First Amendment gives you every right to be an idiot. All right, that number one. Number two.
Okay, there we agree.
Number two. This was an event that was basically not invitation only, but it was you had to go there.
Right.
So I think there's a distinction to be made. Not saying that the woman has issues, and
she
certainly
does. De facto, by the just that they announced it, they promoted it,
right.
That it got a lot of attention. It has the same impact. It's inviting.
I agree
people.
With you, Mike.
Yeah,
and I don't agree with Ray on this.
And you know,
They're dead wrong. I mean, no pun intended. These people are criminals who came and were killed at the site. Thankfully, no one else was killed. And a security officer who was injured is going to survive. But it's a complicated issue. We defend the First Amendment, but it doesn't mean we have to be insulting to an entire class of people and use it against them.
You know, there are people in this country. First of all, I have to say the Skokie thing. That was done to incite. Yeah, it might have been on a road, but it was down the middle of a road in a predominantly Jewish community. Skokie is the Jewish community outside of Chicago, and it was done for a reason.
That's what I mean.
And it was done
they couldn't
for
escape
a reason.
That. They weren't invited to go, hey, you want to see to this? Those in that neighborhood could not escape that.
So, but this is in a community in the South, in Texas, where they think that the United States is, you know, about to invade. And they are just going off on the people of Islam because it's a fashionable political right-wing thing to do. And Pam Geller is adding to it. This is the woman who had the horrible ads up in the MTA and, you know, in the subways in New York City and has
about Muslims
and has pushed the MTA not to allow any kind of political advertising whatsoever now in the subways and on their trains. You know, this is something like she calls it First Amendment rights to be able to speak out like this. Well, there are people who say their freedom of religion is being abridged by my mere existence as being a lesbian. And to me, there's a direct line between the two. People using the Constitution and using what they perceive as their right to perpetrate hate.
Go ahead, Alan.
Well, you know, I'm listening to both of you, and I think it makes I think you've both said something that I think about all the time. I see in hometown politics in Great Barrington. Mm-hmm. I know you see it in libraries. There's always somebody who wraps themselves
right.
in one thing in order to do another. So you may get rich people who oppose the building of a high school. We know why they're doing it.
They don't want to pay. But they
always find a rationale, a reason for doing that. I know you find that with libraries,
mm-hmm.
Libraries also. I don't like what the library is doing, or I don't like what was in a book, or I don't like, you know, this or that. So there's always that. And Mike, you said it, and Libby, you said it. And I do think that one of the things that we as a political people have to make decisions, have to do, is to always look and see what the real reason was that something was happening as opposed to the announced reason.
And the real reason here was to
incite. Yeah, she's trying to polarize
sure.
people.
Right.
I mean,
that was the real reason.
On an anti-Islamic rant.
Right.
And you know, here we are talking about it. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And meanwhile,
she's giving her more credibility.
Libby, you alluded.
I don't think so.
You alluded to this, Libby, the strange situation in Texas
with
the coming invasion. Tell you what, Hopper, let's take a short break, and then we'll discuss that one. It's the Roundtable. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. The imminent invasion of Texas next.
Support for WAMC comes from Hudson Valley Federal Credit Union, a local financial cooperative offering business checking, commercial loans, online banking, and more. HVFCU.org. Great Camp Sagamore, a national historic landmark at Raquette Lake in the Adirondacks. Open for accommodations, tours, and events since 1897, greatcampsagamore.org. and the Brattleboro Retreat, providing hospital-based mental health services, including medically assisted alcohol withdrawal. BrattleboroRetreat.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. 9:45 on the dot on a Wednesday morning. Alan Chartok is here. Mike Spain of the Times Union, the political consultant Libby Post, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, who is, as we mentioned, on assignment. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. I see the Vox Pop lines are ringing. That'll be coming up in about 5 hours. So just stay on the line. Alan, we have some email.
We do. Tom wrote, I would like to know what cartoonist would even participate in such a thing. Gary Trudeau of Tunesbury made a terrific speech about this issue a few weeks ago. It's worth looking up. But I have to say, in response to that, Gary Trudeau has gone to places where others would not go. Mm-hmm. And there have been people who have been mad at him for his exercising his own freedom of speech. I think even in your newspaper, Mike, you don't put him on the comic page, right?
Nope,
you
put him on the editorial page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's always a sensitivity, and we wouldn't want to take away Gary Trudeau's freedom of speech, which is, after all, what this is all about. Julius, our old friend.
Ah, Jules.
Yeah, he says, wasn't the venue for the cartoon contest chosen because it was recently previously used by a Muslim group? Beats me.
I don't know, but it was very close to a mosque. And as Libby pointed out, nobody in the mosque they just ignored it. They wouldn't be provoked by it. They just, you know, so.
I think one of the interesting things about this case, and the FBI is investigating whether there were any hard ties between these two or just loose ties. They said, well, we want to do something. And I think it's more scary if, in fact, the latter is true. If there were no ties, strictly speaking, and they felt compelled to do that.
Yeah.
In France, there was another article that I had pulled for this program that I don't think we're going to get to. But in France, they uncovered a plot just by chance of somebody who had never had any contact with any of them in Syria or Iraq or anywhere else, and was about to do violence.
An act of terrorism and violence.
Exactly.
Certainly.
So I think that's a much more
these are lone wolves, as they're called, and that is a frightening thing. People who on their own become incited by the rhetoric that's out there and take it on themselves to commit these acts.
Alan.
Ethan writes us, Pamela, what's her name, has formed a hate group. Let's make no mistake about that. The Southern Poverty Law Center has spoken about that. Right. She puts up hate posters in the subway of New York City. How would she feel if we put up anti-Jewish posters? She plans these cartoon events in order to incite hate against Muslims. Shall we allow her to put up anti-black posters and plan cartoon events depicting stereotypical negative images of black people? She says now she should plan a cartoon event every month, giving the shooting. I don't believe in this type of free speech. This is hate speech. Mm-hmm. Dangerous, dangerous place.
Interesting.
The minute you say to people, I will decide where that line is. I certainly agree with her sentiments, but it's a tough one.
It sure is.
Bonnie says, folks, taking insult doesn't equal carte blanche with bullets and knives.
Agreed.
Not in this century. And those are the two we had right now.
And, you know, that's a good point, Bonnie. And just as the lady who set this cartoon event up, as Libby and Mike point out, had an ulterior motive, perhaps, not saying definitely, to generate bad feelings. that ISIS, whose ultimate goal is perhaps to wipe out all of us who are non-believers, then uses this event as a pretext. So everybody's
They've already said that. They've already said it. I mean, there was this supposed posting was one of the things that you sent from the gatewaypundit.com.
Yeah.
Supposed posting from ISIS saying we've got 70-something people already trained up in the United States and they're all going to go and do this. Every time it's like they're playing whack-a-mole with us. Every time somebody does something that's offensive to them, they're going to come and shoot.
And by the way, if you all got up when I get up at 2:30 in the morning, you would hear on the way in around 3:15, something like that on the BBC. There was a story, a very touching story, about a Canadian mother who had a kid who went over to ISIS. and who didn't have any Muslim roots or anything else, because he wanted to be included in something bigger than himself.
It's disaffective youth. You know, we've got to find something better for these kids to do than join ISIS.
Well, that...
And as the Republicans cut programs.
All right, panel. I put it to you, what the heck is going on in Texas? Mike, can you lay this out for me?
Well, you know, it was getting some attention earlier in the week, but NPR's Wade Goodman this morning had this great report about how the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, ordered the Texas State Guard to monitor a joint U.S. Special Forces training operation that was taking place in Texas. And he's getting a lot of criticism for it. He's backing off it. But it speaks to a sort of a mythology that's going on in Texas, where some people are believing that the Army, these operations are there because they're about to initiate martial law. And there's some Walmarts that have closed in this part of Texas for renovation for 6 months. And they're saying actually they're being converted into prisoner processing centers.
They should all go to Roswell, New Mexico.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it is so bizarre that, but you know, the internet makes all this possible.
Yes.
You know, long before the internet, we had Roswell, and you'd get those weekly news in the supermarket tabloids on the way out of the supermarket that would have all that stuff. So this is that kind of stuff, but it lives on the internet.
So what surprises you about this? The Second Amendment guys, the pro-gun lobby, has always said the reason we have guns is so that we can protect ourselves against
from
the
government. Right.
I think the more serious question is the governor has said he will bring out the Texas State Guard, which is not the National Guard. There's 2000.
No, not until the president says it is.
No, but he says we're going to keep an eye on this. Now, let's assume that there's something in the water in Texas and everyone has gone absolutely, well, I won't even say it, but not
batty.
A little imbalanced. And they think that the federal government is going to come in and take over the state. If there is enough groundswell of concern, does the governor not have an obligation to say, well, look, we'll keep an eye on this, regardless of whether
the governor has a responsibility to be responsible.
To be responsible.
Okay,
but
that's
why,
what the governor
is
he has.
Why being irresponsible? He's not going to do anything.
This is crap.
I think he fuels the rumor mill when he puts an official action behind it.
That's
And he basically elevates
He wants their votes.
Yeah, he makes them seem credible. Do you think this is real, Ray?
Do you think it's real?
Yes. Do you think the government's really going
there? Whoa, you asked a good question. You were about
to
get a
good
answer.
Do you think it's real?
Do I think that the federal...
Yes.
Texas is already part of the U.S. I don't think the federal government needs to take over Texas.
Okay, so you don't think that this is a credible story.
Right.
A credible...
But that's not my question.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't. My question was, does the governor, if enough people in his state are concerned, does the governor have an obligation to say, okay, well, look, we'll keep an eye on it?
No, the governor has an obligation to say,
to be
folks,
sane.
Right, let's be real here. This is not a threat. The governor does not have an obligation to just keep feeding the paranoia like ISIS is doing, to feeding the paranoia of these people who are lone actors.
Hmm. I think it's fascinating.
I think it's insane.
And I don't like the shot you're taking at Roswell, Mike, but that's another show. All right, Alan,
so
go ahead.
So you do believe that what the governor is doing.
No, not at all. That's not the same case at all.
Jeremy, on the question of Texas, says it's not just a coincidence that there were government drills going on the day in the exact locations of September 11th, Sandy Hook, and Aurora, Colorado, and the recent New York City police shooting. Drills are historically used to stage false flag events. Large numbers of agencies are in place, and then several small details are changed as the, quote, drill goes live. Most people are beginning to understand this. If you disbelieve this, please do some investigative research and report on this phenomenon.
And how's your aluminum hat?
But
do?
No, but here's the thing. And let's not take shots at the listeners, but here's the thing about this. This was a the biggest one in decades, counterterrorism training drill. It's going on, I think, for 3 or 4 months or more.
Right.
And basically what happens is they have to go into the private landowners, the Army or the military, and say, okay, listen, can we use this land? We need it.
So they're staging area.
And the municipalities. And so they're setting it all up in a quite above board way.
Okay.
But don't we want these anti-terrorism drills to happen so that we're prepared?
Yes, we do.
And Aisha says, the next time Pamela Geller has an event, I think artists should converge all around the scene and have a draw the bigot contest. Anyone want to come?
That's not a bad idea.
Now, you see, that would also be fine. That's a great idea.
Well, they would be exercising their First Amendment rights.
Right, you are.
Yeah.
Is there time for another one or no?
Oh, absolutely, okay. Alan. I got nothing but time. Go, man, go. And then we got to talk about the lockbox, Daddy-O.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's
no,
talk
no,
about
do,
the
no, do
much
this
more important.
No, we got time.
Okay.
Read the letter.
This is a long, long thing. And,
oh, heavens.
From Emma, but I'm not going to read it all. Yes, we can all agree that greed and power often cause politicians and businessmen and international corporations to find ways to get what they pay for. Please address the role of the media in failing to uncover this corruption because they have been influenced by money, power, and greed. What? What? You think that they buy off the Albany Times Union or the New York Times or the WAMC, which has been the butt of much anger, particularly from one governor who really just came up after us with everything he had, tried to get the state money taken away from us. Come on, that was Pataki.
You better watch out when he becomes president.
Yeah, and he's going to become president, according to him,
yeah.
You know, any day now. Anyway, you were saying about the lockbox.
Now, yeah. If you're just tuning in and you're keeping score at home, we have this thing called the lockbox. And it is, oh, look who's here. Come on in. It's the lockbox lady, everybody. Yeah, come on in. It's Megan Finnegan. Hi, Megan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So we have this lockbox. We have a fun drive coming up. What, June 1st, you said?
June 1st.
Okay, so it's an on-air drive. Alan starts talking. I drink some coffee and watch him. And we raise money to keep the station going. But one way we do keep everything a bit shorter on air is to do this lockbox. And we're raising money online. And Megan, tell me about it.
Well, it could be a heck of a lot shorter, actually. We've got 84,775 so far.
Whoa.
We've got 25 days to go.
We just started. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's great. So you were going to say.
We're getting a lot of pledges online. People are calling in. You can do either one, WAMC.org. You can call 1-800-323-9262. Everybody knows the number. Make the pledge.
Cool.
But right. Make it okay. now.
Isn't okay. there some like water bottle made of titanium or something?
Oh, yeah.
No, what's it made of?
I don't
out
think
of?
It's quite titanium.
No,
but it's
right
stainless
behind you,
steel.
Ray.
Ah, oh.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
So this is it's metal-ish, I would say.
Oh, it's, yeah. It's gorgeous. It's
stainless
white
steel.
With all kinds of things. It has a thing on the top so that when you're driving, you don't spill it all over yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have your own name on it, somebody else's name.
And
it's
the
got
nice
our logo.
It's opaque. So you're not going to see the beverage? You want to put a little booze in there? No one's going to see.
Oh, no, Raymond.
Hey,
you
tip
should be ashamed of
why
that. Well, because I just said the word driving, and now you're talking
well,
about
well, you're not going to drive with booze.
Yeah, well, okay, let's make that.
At least in this decade.
Ladies and gentlemen,
as
in all honesty, can I just shift here for a second
fine
and say that no matter what anybody thinks, no matter what disagreements we all have, because you're listening right now, let's remember that the only way we can keep this going is that if everybody puts something in. I've been criticized for calling it a fragile experiment, but it is a fragile experiment in public radio. It's not $6, you give me the Times, I give you $6, you know, that kind of thing. It is that everybody who values it, who writes to us every day, and we're getting a lot of these letters now, saying, keep it up. I couldn't do without WAMC. I'm a part of it. I don't like Alan, but I do love the station. Whatever your reason is, find a reason for going to WAMC.org and saying, I want to keep it alive. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the number you can call, too, right?
Right. 800-323-9262.
Okay, so we'll get an update every day until the end of this.
Till the end of time.
Till the end of our lives. Yeah, at the lockbox, WAMC.org. The fun drive begins on air June 1st. We have a good chance of cutting several days or almost the whole fun drive on air drive off.
I really want to do better than we did the last time. And how much did we get the last time?
Well, in February, we had a record breaker because we went in with over 500,000
wow
and we had a 3.5-day drive.
Cool.
Yeah, it was great.
That would be swell. All right, Mike Post, no, he's a musician. Mike Spain, Libby Post, and Alan Shartok, thank you all for being here today. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Hour number two of the roundtable ahead.